Listen now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the good news. Kate and Karen and the rest of the Moment for Mission players don't know this yet, but I'm going to invite them to come up here and act out the story of Zacchaeus. I'll leave it up to you to decide which one climbs the sycamore tree. That's up to you. Just kidding. From the time I was in middle school, I had a classmate named Jill. I won't tell you her last name out of respect for her because she's been through quite enough already. You see, one day, way back in elementary school, Jill had a little accident in class. I'll just call it an accident and leave it at that. And this unfortunate occurrence led another classmate of ours, whose name was Steve, to give Jill the rather unkind nickname of Jilly Spilly. Don't laugh. That's terrible. As you might have guessed, Steve was kind of a jerk back then. And who knows, maybe he still is. But since I'm a pastor now, I feel obliged to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, people grow. But the sad fact is that this horrible nickname that Steve and his friends constantly taunted Jill with stuck to her like glue, and I mean for years. When people make up their minds about someone, they can be awfully hard to change. I have no idea what became of Jill, and I haven't been to a high school reunion in decades, but I guarantee you that if we had one tomorrow, every single person there would remember Jill as Jilly Spilly. Wouldn't matter whether she'd gone on to become the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or a stay-at-home mom or a movie star or a Nobel laureate, she'd still be Jilly Spilly. What I'm trying to say is that people can be really judgmental, and people's judgments about us can cling to us for a long, long time. The ways in which we come to be seen and known and understood by others can be difficult to shake. It's like Newton's first law, only about opinions. Once people believe something about someone, they tend to keep on believing it. Just ask Zacchaeus. As today's story from Luke's gospel begins, Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Crowds have been gathering along the way to catch a glimpse of him, to have a word with him, to be blessed by him, to be healed by him. There, amongst the crowd in Jericho, is a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. This is the extent of the definitive biographical information that we get about Zacchaeus. Now, I have a pretty good idea what at least some of you are thinking right now. You're going over the words to that song about Zacchaeus that you learned in Sunday school years ago. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was rich, and apparently he was also short. It says so right there in the lyrics, so it has to be true, right? As the crowd is growing and the people are clamoring to gander at Jesus, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. Okay. So Zacchaeus climbs the sycamore tree to see Jesus because he was short in stature, but the text isn't clear about who was short in stature. These verses are pure pronoun chaos. Was it Zacchaeus who was short, or was it Jesus? At the end of the day, it probably doesn't matter all that much. But the fact that we've traditionally assumed Zacchaeus to be the short one says some interesting things about us. After all, don't we generally expect the heroes of our stories to be superior beings? I mean, how could Jesus not be 6'4" and full of muscles, clad in white with long flowing hair and a glowing halo surrounding him? Sure, Jesus is a poor carpenter from the wrong side of town, but that's okay because in Luke's gospel, rich people are the villains. Zacchaeus, in contrast, ain't exactly classic hero material. He's rich, and we know how Luke feels about the rich. He's a tax collector, and we talked last week about how people adored tax collectors in New Testament times. And he's not just any tax collector, he's the chief tax collector. Zacchaeus is the worst of the worst of the worst. And Zacchaeus is so excited to see Jesus that he runs ahead of the crowd and climbs up a tree to get a good look at him. These actions would have been seen as incredibly undignified things for a grown man with an ounce of class to do, thus confirming everyone's already negative view of him. Of course, Zacchaeus, this man of questionable moral integrity who unfairly profits off his neighbors, this desperate person who is willing to debase himself in front of everyone, has to be the short one, right? Anyway, when Jesus notices Zacchaeus up there in the sycamore tree, he calls him by name. He tells him to come down and invites him over to himself over to Zacchaeus' house. Seems to know Jesus already, but we don't ever learn how. The crowd is not pleased by any of this, and they begin to grumble. He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner, is their complaint. I dare say we've heard this before. Someone like Zacchaeus had no business hanging around with someone like Jesus. And then Zacchaeus begins to defend himself to Jesus. Luke tells us that he stood there, talking to the Lord. Was he looking up at Jesus, or was Jesus looking up at him? I don't know. Luke makes a point of saying that Zacchaeus stood in front of Jesus, and this is a small but significant detail. There are many times in this gospel where sinners come before Jesus asking for forgiveness, and down to a last, they fall upon their knees or lay at Jesus' feet when they do so. But not Zacchaeus. He stands there as he speaks. Might we infer from this that he's not actually asking Jesus for forgiveness? People's beef with Zacchaeus is that he's a sinner because of what he does for a living, namely being a tax collector who exploits people. And so the defense he presents to Jesus focuses on that accusation. Listen to what he says in the text as I read it earlier. Look, half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Now, this is a pretty generous offer on old Zacchaeus's part. Jewish law required him to give away 10% of his possessions, and he's agreeing to give away five times that. The law obligated him to pay two times damages to anyone he's wronged, and he agrees to give double that. For this generous gesture, this sincere promise of repentance, Jesus declares that today salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house. But remember that Zacchaeus is standing there toe-to-toe with Jesus as he says all of this. Zacchaeus' words sound repentant, but his body language seems kind of defiant, and that's a little tough to reconcile. But a different translation of the Bible might help make some sense of all this. In the Revised Standard Version, which is the one that your Pew Bible is actually based on, verse 19 is translated as follows. Have a listen. And Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." This is a huge difference. In this way of reading it, Zacchaeus is not promising to make things right with those he's wronged. He's telling Jesus he's already making things right with those he's wronged. And maybe that's the really incredible part of this whole story. Way back at the beginning of Luke's gospel, John the Baptist was wandering around the wilderness proclaiming repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The people in the crowds asked him what they actually needed to do to repent and be forgiven, and here's what John told them. "He who has two coats, let him share with him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than is appointed to you." Zacchaeus appears to have been listening. That's right, this rich man, this tax collector, this desperate and unseemly person from whom no one expected anything good, was listening. And he wasn't just listening, he was actually putting what he heard into practice. Who'd have thunk it? Well, apparently Jesus thunk it. Us, probably not so much. When we think of Zacchaeus, is the first thing that comes to mind his willingness to live like God's reign has already arrived here on earth? Or is it that he was a wee little man who climbed a sycamore tree? Pretty sure it's the latter. But why? I don't know. Maybe it's hard for us to accept the possibility that someone like Zacchaeus, a rich man, a chief tax collector, a social outcast, could ever truly repent. Maybe it's hard for us to believe that someone like Zacchaeus could ever be loved by anyone, let alone God. Maybe accepting the idea that even someone like Zacchaeus could actually change would mean having to accept the idea that we could too, that we should too. And who wants to go through all the trouble of doing that? Nah. Just easier for us to write off Zacchaeus, to make being short and a good climber his lasting legacy. Heck, if anything actually rhymed with Zacchaeus, we'd probably give him a stupid nickname too. Like I said earlier, once we've got our minds made up about someone, it can be awfully hard to convince us otherwise. But we should probably be thankful that God doesn't treat us the same way.